Won't that be a glorious day? Amen. My, my, my. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to that day. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. It'd be all right with me. Well, it's good to see you. As you notice, maybe, hopefully you notice, there's a little bit of different look in here with the flags out. And of course, we're getting ready for Missions Conference. Next Sunday, actually, will kind of be a kickoff Sunday, and we'll have some emphasis on missions on that day, and then we'll pick up on Wednesday evening with our missionaries in the service. And in fact, we're trying to prepare for next Sunday night to have special visitors with us from Western Samoa. We're going to have them electronically, probably, because they'll be hopefully where we can talk to them here in the service next Sunday night, Penny and Robin Fafawina and Cameron, hopefully as well. So please be in prayer for our conference. Pray for all the missionaries that will be visiting with us and our sponsored missionaries as well. Well, it's good to see you today. Glad you're here today. And we can worship the Lord together, see some visitors in our midst, and we sure appreciate you being here today as well. Well, church family, let's take a couple minutes. Welcome those visitors and each other.
If y'all return back to your seats, let's turn to page 113. Listen closely to these words as we sing it, okay? Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer. There's a lot packed into those words. Great message. Last verse, let's sing it. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share, till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout
while passing through the air. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
Please be seated. Let's stand one more time. Turn to page 78 and let's sing about it. When we all get to heaven. I'm a little fired up. I don't know if y'all can tell. I love this song. When we all get to heaven.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Don't forget to shout it, okay? Let's sing it last.
Onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Woo! Let's sing the chorus one more time.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. You may be seated.
I don't know if I can say anything, but whoo! All right, gentlemen, go ahead and take your places. We know what we got to do now. It's a regular old routine. If I get scrambled in my words, just keep on going, and we'll figure it out here in a minute. Go over a few of announcements here in the bulletins. We've got ladies' fellowship on Tuesday. That's going to be here in the pastor's classroom, 7 o'clock. Next Saturday, the youth is going to go on an activity. We're going to leave here roughly about 3 o'clock and get back around 7 o'clock, and we're going to go ride some go-karts and everything. And we're going to ride go-karts. Where we're going to, they have coupons in the Yellow Pages. So I'm trying to keep things as cheap as I can on this kind of stuff for us. And on page 35, some coupons, it says Rockwood go-karts. Find it out, cut it out, buy one, get one free. So that's helped us out a little bit. Missions Conference is just around the corner. We have sign-up sheets in each foyer as far as preparing the meals. Please see Miss... You got it, Miss Marcia. Do you have the sign-up sheets for the thing off field for the missions conference? Still some blanks. See, she can still use a little bit of help for the meals on the missions conference. So see her and Miss Sandra on that one also. Got a wedding shower right around the corner, November 7th, for April and Colton, just right around the corner. And if you haven't noticed inside the bulletin, there's the invitation to the wedding, all the neat little details on that one also. So. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day you've given us today. Lord, thank you for the wonderful time we've had with you today, Lord, already, Lord. Lord, right now we're asking to be at the offering about to receive and be at the gift and the giver. But Lord, please just give us the spirit of worship today. Lord, prepare our hearts for what you're going to give the preacher today, Lord. Lord, to hide him behind the cross, Lord. Ask these things in your name. Amen.
David sang the praises of the glorious Jehovah. Paul preached all is lost, save from knowing Christ. John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom, but for a moment may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him, when I can see the way he makes a way? Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I wanna say. How many sermons has he preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of what the Savior has done for me. Did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him, when I can see the way he makes a way? Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I wanna say. Did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him, when I can see the way he makes a way? Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. I love him, that's all I want to say.
Sure hope so. Amen. Whew. It's good. Hallelujah. You can be turning to Isaiah chapter 6 as we begin this morning. Just ask you a question. How impressed are you with God? It's kind of a strange question, I realize. Just how much does it impress us, move us, by who and what he is? Even the song we just sang should surely speak to that. And we have the invitation. We have the invitation to come boldly into his presence. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. We can come to him to find that mercy and that grace that we need in that time when we so desperately need it. But I would say that we've not had the privilege to actually enter into his glorified presence. If you understand what I mean by that. I mean, we haven't been present as the children of Israel did when the glory dropped from glory upon that tabernacle in the wilderness. We weren't there when the temple was completed and the glory so filled that place that the priests couldn't even function. We do have testimonies to time like that when folks either witnessed that glory or they witnessed a vision of that glory. And we have one of those here in Isaiah chapter 6. And I love this passage. Whew. We're going to deal with today with a couple of my favorite passages in the scriptures. In Isaiah chapter 6, stand with me if you would in reverence to the good word of God. Verse 1 of Isaiah 6, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw." Think of those words. "I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train," or the idea is His glory, "filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With two covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with twain he covered with twain he did fly." I'm thinking about the passage before I'm even reading it. "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." What a tremendous statement. This earth planet is full of His glory if we have the spiritual capacity to take it in. Verse 4, it says, "The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Isaiah responded, his reaction was, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." This statement again. "For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Father, we bow before you. Lord, as humbly as we can, we would seek your face today. We desire, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you might allow us to just have a glimpse of him. We'd see him in some measure in his glory. You'd manifest that glory, that presence, that power in this place today. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, the lovely name of our Savior, the powerful name of our Savior, that you'd rule and overrule in this place. Overrule, Father, powers of darkness that would seek to hinder, oppose you today. That your Holy Spirit would have that liberty to brood over this auditorium, amongst this congregation today. Oh God, I ask you in Jesus' name, start right behind this holy desk. And as you did for Isaiah, would you be pleased to purge us, Father? Cleanse us that we indeed might be made ready to receive from you, acknowledging you for who and what you are, the great God whose glory indeed fills this world. We love you, Lord. Oh God, please, it's a song. We love you. We don't want to fail to mention that we love you. We love you, of course, because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. What an experience Isaiah had here. Man. Little can be said except wow. What a privilege, what an honor. As Isaiah lifted up his eyes and says he saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. Happy to report that he's still on that throne. He's still ruling. And those angels, those seraphim, the cherubim are still there, declaring his holiness. And as I read this passage, I thought, oh my, to be able to enter into the presence of the Lord in such a way. Could you imagine what the scene was like? Allow yourself, if it's right, allow yourself to go to the scene. Isaiah witnessing this great scene, God upon His throne. These creatures, these angelic creatures above the throne in a total inability to take in the glory of the sight have covered their eyes. In humility, they cover their feet with two of those wings. And imagine if you will, being in that presence and feeling the breeze as those other two wings were to suspend them before the throne. Oh, that we draw near, beloved. That we might draw near and worship this God. What a dramatic impact it had on Isaiah. No more pride. No more arrogance. No. All he could see was, woe am I, for I am what? Undone. He's there wanting God, pleading with God to put him back together. God was pleased to do that, preparing him for a ministry matched by few. This morning, I want us to look at the recipient of our worship. We might take it in a bit. The recipient of our worship. And of course, the purpose of this entire study on worship is to stir our hearts, hopefully, draw our hearts to want to worship Him in a greater way. You know, I think of this, what happened in Isaiah, and I wonder if we could even say this. Hopefully, I'm not on wrong ground by saying it, but is worship not an experience? In a sense, I believe it is. As we would experience the presence of God. But indeed, it is a spiritual experience. It's a spiritual experience. And the more, beloved, we experience God in our worship of Him, the more, I believe, we will sense His presence. Hey, the Bible says He inhabited the praises of His children, of His people. I want to be where He's praised. I want to be where the name of Jesus is magnified and honored and glorified. I want to be where God might be pleased to show up. The key is that we wouldn't leave that behind when we might depart and leave the place of worship. But that we would continue, that we would be worshipers. We would take that spirit, that heart of worship with us into our lives. The daily experience of our walk with Him. You know, we've covered a variety of ideas under this banner of worship. And we've tried to understand the why of worship. And of course, to fundamentally know just what this thing we call worship is. It's important to know the source of worship, as we were looking at last week, and I'm praying. So I pray God might be pleased to pull back the veil just a little bit and let us get a glimpse of the recipient of our worship, this great God. Who is it that we worship? You know, we return to John chapter 4 for a moment. John chapter 4, we'll spend some time in the Gospel of John today. And I know we've read these verses over and over, but as we look at them again and again, we're trying to see them from different perspectives, from different angles, if you will. And again in verse 21, it says, Jesus saith unto her, speaking of that woman from Sychar, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when we shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Wow. The person receiving our worship is obviously our Heavenly Father. God our Father. True worshipers, it says, shall worship the Father. True worshipers shall worship the Father. Well, the question then is, Pastor, is it wrong to worship the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit? Is it wrong to worship Jesus or the Holy Spirit? Do we only worship God the Father? Can I worship Jesus? Yes, you may. Yes, of course you may. We saw last week that the right response in the coming into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ was to worship Him, to come down before Him, to worship Him. But it is essential for us to understand some things. It's essential that the biblical principles that come to play here as well, that we understand those as best we can. So we see our worship of the Son of God. Our worship of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. We surely do worship Him. We've saw that over and over again in the New Testament. But there are some helpful things for us to know about this. Some things that are good for us to understand. And I'd like us to let the Lord Jesus explain that for Himself. If you would, turn to another one of my favorite passages in the Bible, in John chapter 17. The Gospel of John in chapter 17, this chapter is often called the Lord's Prayer. It is the true Lord's Prayer. It's often called the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of those passages that you might equate with the Alps of the Bible. The altitude that we would enter into as you study John chapter 17 reaches to the very portals of glory themselves. And here, as we read in verse 1, now let me say this before we even do that. If we go back to John chapter 13, we see that last Passover supper has just taken place. The Lord Jesus Christ has initiated the first Lord's Supper. And now Judas Iscariot has left their midst. And he goes on then to discuss with his disciples some very, very important things concerning himself, what's about to take place, his departure to glory, but also his giving of the Holy Spirit of God. Then, as he shares these things with his disciples, he comes then to John chapter 17 and prays. As we read in verse 1 of John 17, he says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." The high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. We surely do worship Him. And as we come to this passage this morning, I want us to see just a few things here. We see, as we would explore this chapter, that number one, God the Father sent God the Son to this earth planet. We understand that, but we read in verse 8 of John 17, Jesus again, he says, "For I have given unto them," speaking of
the disciples, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. Isn't that a tremendous statement? They have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Verse 18 echoes that. He says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them, his disciples, into the world. God the Father sent the Son into this earth, this world. Just a little aside, I couldn't get past that little statement there concerning the words. I have given unto them the words, emphasizing the words themselves. I'm thankful that we emphasize the scriptures here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every word of it. Every word. Jesus says, I've given unto them, my disciples, my followers, the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. Beloved, look to the word of God for your help, for your answers. Don't be satisfied with human wisdom. Look to the wisdom of God for your answer. And what? Receive it. Receive it. Secondly, we see here that the Father spoke through the Son. We just read that in verse 8, that He spoke through the Son. But then again in verse 14, He says, I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But the emphasis there, what we want to see is that I, Jesus, have given them, my followers, your word. God the Father spake through the Son. But also, thirdly, the Father saved us through the Son. The Father has saved you and I through the work of His Son. In verse 2, it says, as thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given Him. But also in verse 9, I pray for them. Pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. We see that God has been pleased to us. If you're saved today, you're saved because Jesus was sent from His Father to save you and I. He came into this world seeking to save that which was lost. The Father sent Him to save us through His Son. But then, fourthly, the Father was and is glorified by the Son. We read that already in verse 1. These words spake Jesus, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, it's now time. Glorify thy Son. Why? In order that thy Son also may glorify thee. Jesus gives glory to His Father. Look at verses 4. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest to me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. What's he saying? Father, get glory from me. Get glory from me, even in that glory that you gave me from the beginning. It goes on. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine the word, and thou gavest to me, and they have kept thy word. What's Jesus all about? Giving glory to His Father. He came to give Him glory. And how does He do that? By fulfilling His Father's will. Doing all that His Father had given Him to do. You see, all the glory, all the worship that the Lord Jesus Christ receives, He, in turn, passes that glory on to his Father. All the glory or the worship that Jesus receives, he gives to his Father. Boils down to this simple truth. When Jesus receives glory or worship, the Father receives glory or worship through him. How's that, preacher? Well, look at verse 21 in this tremendous chapter. Verse 21 says that they, speaking of his disciples, that they all may be one, unified. He says, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now we'll look at a little bit more of this, but hey, take note. Because that the Son of God and God the Father are inseparably one. He, the Father, gets glory when his Son is glorified. But we also see here that as we are obedient to him, that glory also goes to the Father. Oh my, Lord, help us. Look with me, go back to chapter 14, John chapter 14. This passage, tremendous passage as well, comes on the heels of the disciples being broken over the words that the Lord Jesus Christ tells them that he was going to leave. That he was going to leave. And in verse 1, those familiar words of John 14, verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Hallelujah. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You need not be concerned that I'm leaving. I'm just leaving to make things ready. To make the preparations for that day when you join me, when I come back for you. He says, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." And Thomas asks him the question. He says, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Where are you going? And the way, we don't know. How can we know the way?" Fair question. Jesus gives those immortal words that we quote so often. And he declares on them, "Thomas, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." Hallelujah. If you're saved this morning, it's because you came through Jesus. You took God's way and came to him. He says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Hallelujah. He gave us a way. But it goes on. He says, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father." What's he saying? You know me, you know him. You know me, you know the Father. "And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him." You've seen him? Philip then asks a question. Philip is puzzled. He says, "Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth." And Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long with you and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" You don't understand this yet, Philip? "He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works." Do we get the picture? We see Jesus, we see the Father. We know Jesus, we know the Father. We worship Jesus, we worship the Father. Yeah, oh my. Well, we worship Jesus, we worship the Father, but how about our worship of the Holy Spirit? How about our worship of the Holy Spirit? All of what we've said concerning the oneness, the unity of the Father and the Son is also true concerning the Holy Spirit. He's God. He is God. He is one with the Father and one with the Son. And it's not wrong for us, beloved, to attribute honor and praise to the Holy Spirit. We do not find in the Scriptures an example of direct worship of the Holy Spirit. And that could be dangerous. But it's not wrong to honor the Holy Spirit and to praise Him. Why? Because He's God. He is God. And through Christian history, we see over and over again our worship is often as well attributed to the Holy Spirit. In just a few moments, we could list numerous, many, many songs that are written as prayers unto Him, unto the Holy Spirit. Breathe on me, breath of God. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Two different songs. Holy Ghost with light divine. Open my eyes that I may see. Come, Holy Spirit, fall fresh on me. And the list could go on and on. Songs addressed to as prayers of worship unto the Holy Spirit. Yeah. But our honor or praise of the Holy Spirit must be also understood very carefully to avoid any imbalance that may come in, as so many have got mixed up with today. The ministry of the Holy Spirit to believers is something, oh my, extremely special, very special. And a ministry that we desperately need and cannot survive for God without that ministry of the Holy Spirit to us. Our Lord describes this ministry to His disciples in these passages. And then, interesting, God packs it all in one place for us. The ministry of the Holy Spirit to believers is something unique indeed. And the Lord, as He's preparing to leave them, shares it with them, explains this thing to them. And we look at a summary of that here in John 14 and 15. In John 14, verses 15 and 16, we see that the Holy Spirit is the eternal comforter. Eternal comforter. In verse 15 of John 14, we read, "If ye love me," Jesus saying, "if ye love me, keep my commandments." But then He goes on to say, "And I will pray, I will seek the Father, and He shall give you another comforter that you may abide with you forever." He says, I'm going to pray that He would give you another. And that word for another is very special as well. It means another of the same kind. I'm going to give you another like me, of the same essence as me. I'm going to give you another comforter, capital C, speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. He's an eternal comforter. He'll be with you how long? Forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. But we also see in that chapter that the Holy Spirit is an indwelling comforter. Verse 17, it says, "Even so," speaking of this comforter, "even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." The world doesn't receive the Holy Spirit. That's God's gift to you. To you as a believer. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not." It doesn't see Him. It doesn't see or know Him. "Neither know with Him, but ye know Him." So listen. "He dwelleth with you and shall be with you." Excuse me. In you. Thank you. In you. He shall be in you. The indwelling comforter. Okay. Thirdly, we see the Holy Spirit as the teaching Comforter. Down to verse 26. It says, but the Comforter, still capital C, speaking of the Holy Ghost here, whom the Father will send in my name. Notice this Comforter, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Thank you, Lord. How often have you needed that? On that lonely night, in that tough time, God, the Holy Spirit, is pleased to bring back to your heart those precious truths that you've learned along the way. He's pleased to bring them back and be that teaching comforter to you. Yes, indeed. He's an eternal comforter, an indwelling comforter, a teaching comforter, but he's also a testifying comforter. And this is very important. In chapter 15, John chapter 15, and we read here in verse 26, but, he says, but when the Comforter, notice it's capital C, speaking of the Holy Spirit, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Who does the Holy Spirit talk about? Who does he testify of? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who sent him? God the Father. Interesting. As God sent the Son, God also sent or proceedeth, the Spirit proceedeth from the Father. But then we also see here that he's the glorifying comforter. Chapter 16. Chapter 16 and in verse 13. John 16, 13, it says, howbeit when he, who's that? The Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit doesn't seek glory for himself. It's not his ministry. He'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. What's the ministry of the Holy Spirit? To glorify the Son. To glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he doing in the world today? He's ministering in Christ's stead. He's ministering in Christ's place as the eternal, indwelling, teaching, testifying, and glorifying comforter, as we see here. And who does he testify of and glorify? The Son. The Son, Jesus Christ. Now again, who is it that the Son glorifies? The Father. Do we catch on? Do we catch on? The ultimate recipient of our worship is the Father. It's all about giving God glory. The ultimate recipient of our worship is the Father. And we need to be mindful of that, even as we would worship the Son. Not that we're worried or fussing, but to just know in our heart of hearts that when you're giving glory to the Son of God, the Father, God the Father is as well receiving that glory in that worship. When we sing to the praise, hey, those prayers, I should say, unto the Holy Spirit of God, and we're praying, oh God, oh please, Holy Spirit, fall fresh on me. I need that right now, beloved. I need that fresh work of the Holy Spirit of God. We need, hey, if we're here to worship today, we must have the Holy Spirit of God. God the Son will receive no worship outside of God the Spirit. And God the Father will receive no worship outside of God the Spirit or God the Son. We need that presence, the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, help us to recognize that in our lives. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has received glory and worship in His church. Why do you make that point, preacher? Because of all places, hey, He's not going to receive the praise He deserves. Forgive me. At the Capitol. He's not going to get what He deserves there. He's not going to receive the glory and honor that He deserves down at the public hall. Huh? The place that He should and surely should receive the glory and the honor, the worship that He's so worthy of, as we've been seeing in these days, is right here in His house. In this place that belongs to Him by a blood-bought people that love Him, as we heard sung earlier. Huh? If we don't worship Him, who will? We need to be busy at giving Him that glory and honor and power that He's so worthy of, beloved. Worshiping Him in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that God the Father might be pleased, that He might be pleased to receive that to Himself. Huh? Oh my, what a God we have. My question to our hearts today is God the Holy Spirit testifying to us as we've read here today? God the Holy Spirit testifying to us? Are we hearing Him? Try to focus on the Word of God here. Not what the preacher thinks, but what does God say? Is God the Spirit speaking to us? What should we do if He is? What should I do if He is? What should you and I do if God the Holy Spirit is speaking to our heart? I'm not talking about Nathaniel. I'm talking to you. I'm talking about God the Holy Spirit impressing our hearts today. Dealing with my heart and your heart. Huh? He does that how? Through His Word. God the Spirit takes the Word of God in witnesses, testifies to the heart. And the response to that is obedience. God the Holy Spirit speaking to us, we need to obey Him. We need to obey Him. Listen to Him. Beloved, if you're here and you're not saved, my friend, if you're not saved this morning and you're here at this church house, I plead with you to listen to the Holy Spirit. I plead with God in Jesus' name that His Spirit would speak to you. His Spirit would speak to you, making real Himself. I can preach the Word of God, but it's only the Spirit of God that can make that real in your heart. That indeed you need to be saved. You need to be forgiven. You need to be cleansed of sin. That you might have everlasting life with God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Pray you'd listen and obey Him. Obey Him. If you're here and you are saved, hallelujah. He's your divine comforter. Thank you, Lord. He's your divine comforter. He's in you this morning, as we've read here, that indwelling comforter. To give you that peace you need. To give you that encouragement you need along the way. Hey, He's there to poke you when you're not doing right. I'm thankful for that. Believe me, I've needed many a pokes along the way. Huh? Remember Leotis? Remember, he went out one Sunday, I said something about God getting a hold of me by the spiritual scruff of the neck, using a divine 2x4 upside the head. Huh? I've needed it a few times. More times than I'd like to admit. And what do you do when he does? You worship him. You give him glory for who and what he is. You don't take that glory to yourself. Look what I've done. Look how good I'm doing. Huh? Jesus tells us what? Without me, you can do nothing. We certainly couldn't worship him without the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ through his Spirit here today. Huh? Are you saved? Oh, I trust that the Holy Spirit would minister in our hearts. Trust that he'd be pleased to enter in and do something beautiful and special. We go home different than we came. Huh? Yeah. Lord, help us. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, we thank you today for who you are. And Lord, as humbly as we possibly can, we want to yield, surrender, submit to you, to your word. As your Son spoke to you, Father, we hear your words and receive them. And Father, I pray, Lord, I can only speak for Jim Turner. But Lord, I realize I need you to work in my heart and in my life. Lord, I don't want to go on the same. I want to be, oh God, renewed and refreshed, revived in Christ. They experience that not just a moment of worship here or there, but our lives would be so ruled by you. Walking, Father, oh my, might we sense that wind moving the very throne of God, your Spirit might move by us. Well, please do for folks today. I don't know that there might be some within these walls that is yet without Christ. Well, please do for that one, that young man, that young lady, that man, that woman. Father, wherever they're at, please find your way to them today. Work in that heart and in those lives. And Father, for every believer, we heard the song, let our love for you be real. We love you, Father, with every fiber of our being. We wouldn't be satisfied to allow the world to have any place. We would echo the words of the Apostle Paul, for to me to live, for to me to live is Christ. Oh God, make it so. Please make it so. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus today. Thank you in his name. And for his glory we pray. Amen. Amen. A song.
Hymn 118.
As we sing, beloved, please obey the Lord. As we said, whatever he saith unto you to do, do it. Just be obedient to him. Do what he'd have you to do, please, as we sing.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my
Of him, saw the Lord. Amen. 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 Let's be dismissed.
We'll be dismissed with the chorus. It's in your bulletin or page 109. Send the light. Let's sing it out.
Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
You're dismissed. Thank you. Hope to see you tonight.